Record.
Okay.
Right. We should do some more Gundam at some point, David.
Yeah. Well, we could do G-Quark's news or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did say, like, we could do as a replacement for Gridman, we could do G-Quark's.
We could do something like that.
Did they ever do that, they ever release that follow-up to Hathaway?
The movie? Oh, man, no.
I think that's...
We would have done it by now.
I think that's still...
But Hathaway 2 is still...
In progress.
On the horizon, maybe next year.
Because it feels like we did that a zillion years ago.
Yeah,
they're going real slow on that project. That's
because that's
an Evangelion rebuild kind of schedule.
It's weird because like G-Witch and G-Quarks, like they were in production at the same time.
Oh, I guess because they were different studios. So
yeah, different studios under the same thing. Which Hathaway, I think, is the same thing. It's just weird they haven't done goddamn shit. Like, what else have they been doing in the meantime? Unless, like, they're doing animated shorts for video games or something. It's very weird that there's... Like, the only news I think we've gotten so far this year is that, oh, it's not happening this year. Like, what the fuck have you been doing, guys? I mean, I realize an animated movie does take a while, but goddamn...
Like the rebuild movies, it took. I need to. I have the. Someone was kind enough to buy off my Amazon wish list the 4K version of the last of the rebuild movies, and I really need to watch that because I don't think I had the 4K TV yet when it came out, and it's gonna look real pretty.
No, I'm mostly just waiting for like the stories of what the fuck it took so long to make Hathaway 2 happen. Like, there's got to be some nonsense going on back there. Anyway, episode.
All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm sorry we don't have that extra 15 minutes where we were digressing about Gundam on podcast recording.
I thought we were
that would have been a long
waiting
extra.
For...
It was very spoilery, but...
I thought we were
I'm
waiting
dated.
For Rob to come back to the mic, so I was just going through a bin of model kits and talking about gyms.
I thought you were looking for something specific, because you were, like, away from the mic, so it was like having a conversation with someone down the hallway.
I was looking for my Gym Sniper custom kit that I never got around to starting, but it is not upstairs, it's downstairs. Anyway, that would have been a fun, like, thing to add on to the end of the podcast, so maybe we'll have to do Gundam chat some other time.
We do need to do more Gundam chats.
Alright, well, welcome to the party, pal, because... Today's first episode is Dino Hard. This is the 31st episode of Rescue Bots Academy, written by Peter A. Dowling, last seen around these parts, writing Blame Game, and first aired September 28th, 2019.
I guess, if you hard, then you hard. Dino Hard.
You know, come to the coast, we'll have a few laughs.
I mean, with the title of this episode, I was kind of expecting more references to Die Hard.
I mean, we get a couple, which is more than I was expecting from a show.
We get one that I definitely was not expecting.
So, the Grimlock is back, and he has taken everybody to Wayward Island, which they are now calling Dino Island, because, as you'll recall, it had a bunch of dinosaurs on it last time.
Yes.
Well, it had dinosaurs under it. Like, they were all submarine.
And now I guess they've come up to the surface, making it a real savage land.
I like whenever they call him Professor Grimlock.
Yes.
I mean, it's a great title. Although, we don't see the caveman that was living on the island, though.
No, unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Yeah, which would have made it even more savage land. But yeah, our previous encounters with the dinosaurs in the island were under the island in caves, which threw me off when they were referencing as like, oh, wait, that was the same place. I forgot. Mm. But yeah, now they're all above ground.
Yes. And The whole team is going, with the exception of Hoist, who has acute dinophobia.
Yes.
Yes, because this is Phobia Island for him.
Yes.
Also, once again, it's much like when...
It's like Naked Public Speaking Island, or Clown Island.
Spider Island.
Also, much like when they were doing this in Rescue Bots, these are the roundest, friendliest possible dinosaurs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're big and soft, and some of them are feathery, I think.
Yeah, some of them are feathery. Science has marched on.
Yay.
We have progressed.
So, yeah, so everybody's trying to talk Hoist into coming, but nope. No thanks.
Yep. He is just not doing it. Not doing it. Yeah,
because Grimlop shows up and jump scares him. Well, he falls on the ground. He's not that scared. It's second of panic. And it's like, no, I don't need an entire island of that.
No.
So they go there, and these are indeed the most friend-shaped dinosaurs around.
They're so friendly. They're,
a little bit Land Before Time without the big eyes.
Yeah, not quite Disney eyes of Land Before Time. Oh my god, guys, come on. No, it's
and fine. Also, of course, without the crushing sadness of the Land Before Time.
Yes. Well, yeah.
That is a terribly sad movie.
Children's... Are all those movies sad? There's like 16 in the series.
No. See, the first one's sad, and all the others are just very generic, kind of like cartoon musicals.
Do kids' movies... Like, kids' movies these days don't traumatize people the way that they did when we were young, do they?
I don't know. Those Pixar movies get pretty emotional.
Maybe, yeah, the Pixar, the Toy Story movies, or they have trauma in different ways, like, was it Red? It's about stuff.
Like family trauma.
Panda movie.
Oh, the Turning Red.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we did all just watch, you know, Transformers 1, which involves a guy getting, like, torn in half at the waist.
Yeah!
Yes, but he's the bad guy.
Well, still, though.
I don't know, I think of that being for a little older than, like, The Land Before Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so it would be more like if Bumblebee's father was shot in front of him or something. That would be a good full-time thing.
Why are you causing problems, Anastasia?
I haven't seen in so long, I forget why. Does is it like Littlefoot's parents die or something? Is that what's the
section? I
think
his mother dies, and then I think he's trying to find his grandparents, and also extinction is happening.
Yeah, well, like... Yes.
But doesn't actually happen, because they keep making more movies.
Well, yeah.
Or we're just confusing bits of it with Fantasia.
I think I've only seen the first one. I don't think I saw any Lands Before Time after the first one.
There's singing in those next ones. That first one is not a movie that has singing in it.
Anastasia, why are you determined to cause problems tonight?
Speaking of,
we're not talking about her movie.
I guess we need to be talking about.
Was somebody talking about Don Bluth? Perhaps.
Yeah, we need to be.
Which
talking...
I never saw that one. Maybe I should, because it's got Rasputin in it, and Rasputin always amuses me.
I saw that in the theater.
Hmm.
I mean, it's very much Don Bluth just doing a Disney movie.
Yes.
Yeah, it did seem like that.
I mean, it's kind of interesting that it takes actual historical figure Rasputin and makes him into, like, a necromancer.
Yes.
As you do.
Which, I mean...
Who has, like, a meatloaf-esque musical number.
And a cute little bat.
Yeah, well, in fact, it's written by Jim Steinman, who did, like, all the meatloaf songs that you know.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, neat.
And also, it's one of those things where you can tell that very obviously it's Christopher Lloyd voicing Rasputin, but as soon as he starts to sing, Jim Cummings, baby.
As you do.
He was just not going to sing. Doing it. Stasia,
although
honey,
it's less
why?
Awkward than in The Lion King, where it's Jeremy Irons for half the song, and then I guess he blew his voice out or something, because he just instantly turns into Darkwing Duck. Anyway. So, we got these adorable dinosaurs, and then there's a Triceratops, which is still adorable and round.
It's so
round.
But
is also, enraged and rampaging. But it is so round.
I mean, they talk about how it's harmless because it's an herbivore, but, like, rhinos are herbivores.
And elephants, and hippopotamus.
Yeah.
The Cape Buffalo.
Well, hippopotamuses are murder machines. They're Maybe it's the softer and rounder you are, the more deadly you are. Like, if the Triceratops didn't have the frill and the spikes, it'd be the ultimate killer. But as it is pointy and round, it is still dangerous, but safer than, like, a dinosaur-sized hippo.
But yeah, it just charges into the ground bridge, and then smashes the controls before Grimlock can get back at it.
Yeah, just immediately smashes the control the panel for the ground bridge. Oops.
So now they're stuck there, and also there's a dinosaur rampaging through the base with the one bot who will be paralyzed with fear when he sees it.
So yes. That sucks.
And meanwhile, Hoist is trying to sort of, like, do some exposure therapy here.
Yeah.
I meant to look that up. I don't think exposure therapy, like, is that successful.
Well, especially since this dinosaur is about to pull a clever girl on him.
Yeah.
Well, there's very much that, but, like, clinically,
like start
I
small.
Think
like, start with those, like, little chicken dinosaurs, like a Compsognathus or something, even though they did eat Peter Stormare in The Lost World.
They did.
Well, because they ate, was it Hammond in the book?
John Hammond in the novel.
Yeah.
I couldn't have that in the actual movie.
Wait, that annoyed me in the movie because I read the book first. It's like, oh, I'm waiting for him to get chewed to death by little compies, and then that doesn't happen.
Well, it's because Spielberg sees too much of himself in John Hammond.
You know what made me mad?
And isn't
was
the kind of director who would want to have his stand and die in a movie dramatically.
Was when Dr. Malcolm died in the book, and then when he wrote The Lost World, since he had survived in the Jurassic Park movie.
Wait, he died in the I didn't even
yes,
remember.
Yes, he died in the book, and then he was like, oh, actually, I didn't die in the second book, because he hadn't died in the movie, and the second book was really just a treatment for the second movie, and I hate Michael Crichton. I will never forgive him for the ending to the Andromeda Strain. Made me so
there
mad.
There are other reasons to hate him.
I know, there are also other reasons to hate him, but the first reason...
He was a real weird dude, as it turned out.
Yes. The first reason that I had to hate him, like, when I was 16, was the ending to the Andromeda Strain.
And for me, it was the ending of Sphere.
Pretty much all of Sphere is just dumb.
I didn't even... experience Sphere.
I like the concept of Sphere, and then it
you,
just
you
happens.
Didn't experience it?
No, I did not experience it.
How about the movie with, like, Sharon Stone?
I think it was... what was it? Time something?
I hate that one. I didn't finish. That's the one Crichton book I started and returned to the fucking library.
Well,
I
that's the
that.
One...
Timeline.
Timeline. Yes. That was the one that came out while I was working at a mall bookstore, and everyone pretty much understood that he had written it in a month because his publisher was making him write another book.
And it was just utter garbage from top to bottom. Anyway... Dinosaurs.
There was industry buzz about that one sucking.
It was still more interesting than Airframe.
That one also came out while I was at the bookstore.
That's a real snooze.
Fucking Andromeda Strain.
Anyway.
So mad.
So yeah, this dinosaur is now... You know, he... Initially... Hoist thinks this is a holodeck malfunction.
Yeah,
because he was in the holodeck playing with the T-Rexy thing, and
so
then
this
comes
must
out
just
of
be
it,
a
end program, and then program. Oh, there's a dinosaur standing in front of me. Oh, how did that get out? And then he steps out of the way as it's charging him. I was like, oh wait, that one's solid. Oh shit!
I see. Somebody must have made him a mobile emitter.
Oh no, a real dinosaur. Oh,
and then he runs into the little control room office thingy, which the way the doors on the side are set up, it's Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh no, I don't know about that.
Like, if he had just sat in a chair and controlled the doors opening and closing, like, the way the door it was, like, had a weird, well, not quite a flashback since I've never played those shitty games, but I've seen people play those games, and it's like, oh, that's just an animatronic run wild, only it's a dinosaur.
Also, again...
It gets through the door and tears apart the control room.
They reassure him that it's okay because it's an herbivore, so it can't eat him. But a carnivore could also not eat him because he is made of metal.
Correct.
It might try harder, but it would also not be able to eat him on account of being made of metal.
Anyway, so he Grimlock radios him and says, that's a real dinosaur, and you're going to have to do something about it.
Sorry.
And at this point, his testicles retract into his body.
Just all the way. All the way up there.
And it busts down the door. It's chasing him around, and everybody's trying to figure out how they're going to get back.
Again,
to the
it's still incredibly round and cute.
It is, yes. And also, Blades has found a clue. Whirl has found a clue. It looks like the dinosaur has an extra toe.
Yes.
Have we heard this story before?
Setting up the obvious. Oh, it's the we're going to have a Christian pulling a thorn out of a paw. Yay. Which is, like, that is a thing that happens so much in fiction that really doesn't come up that often in real life.
Well, especially not with dinosaurs.
You know what else doesn't come up that often in real life? Going through an air duct.
Okay, that happens way less. Yes, that.
Yeah, because it is John McClane time for Hoist here. Hey, we'll come to the coast, have a few laughs.
So these air vents must be 3 meters tall inside.
They're robots, so it's designed so that they can do diehard stuff if the need should arise.
There are two things that I was overprepared for in my youth, and one of them was quicksand, and the other was going through air ducts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because quicksand, I mean, except in very specific circumstances, like at a beach. A beach of quicksand might happen, in a way. But it's also easy to get because you're vital. Anyway, but yes, air ducts. No air duct. Really, except in... why would you have an air duct big enough? Air ducts are so tiny, you might be able to fit a raccoon in an air duct. You never got to get a human being in there, let alone crawl into an air duct and have it support your weight. They're not designed for that. They're designed to hold air, let alone giant robots or Bruce Willis. Anyway, we also find out, like, cutting back to the island, that the Hotshot's ATV mode does count towards his modes of the day.
Yes,
because in previous situations, it was mostly just, do you have your hovercraft or your jet?
Yeah,
but this makes it explicit that the ATV is counted in one of the things you can choose. Mm-hmm. And they have to find out how to get off the island. Yes.
Yes. So some of them are going to drive down. Some of them are going to drive on the bottom of the ocean. Which, okay, sure.
Yeah, well, because
obviously Whirl can fly.
Yeah, but Whirl can't really carry any of them. Well, maybe one of them, but that's it. However,
Wedge is going to make water skis for
our buddy Grimlock.
For Grimlock, which...
Sure.
Which really makes me think of that bit in The Ultimate Doom where the Autobots have surfboards.
Yes.
I don't remember how those surfboards were propelled. This is...
They had, like, some sort of outboard motor on the back, because you can see, like, water sort of coming from them.
No, but this is Whirl towing Grimlock on skis, but really aren't skis. They're just two logs. Doesn't even look like they've carved them to work well in water.
Which means that he goes burling down and down white water. Log drivers, waltz pleases girls completely.
Anything can be skis if you try hard enough.
Do you guys have the log driver's waltz in the States?
No.
No, I have seen that video, though, many times, because it's a really charming song and a good animation.
Well, it's a classic Canadian folk song.
Yeah. No, burling is a very Canadian-feeling word. It might have all originated in logging in America, but, like, no, burling, it's... Oh, no, I do live near Burlington.
Burlington Coat Factory?
Named after that, but...
Well, it's spelled differently, though. Burling is with an I.
It is? Oh.
Yeah.
That's even weirder.
Well, people didn't used to know how to spell things.
That is true.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's from French.
Possibly?
Well, just because a lot of the early... I mean, Canada was first settled, as far as Europeans go. Yeah,
French-Canadian loggers.
By the French.
Yeah.
No, though apparently it is Irish. Anyway, so, so yeah, Grimlock is going Berlin down and down Whitewater and not loving it. And meanwhile, Tough Luck Chuck is helping Hoist plan here. So he's going to use his cowboy skills. And he's going to use Chuck's remote control to make him into a remote control cowboy and lasso the dinosaur.
I didn't know Chuck could do that, but it does seem useful.
Yes, yeah. Except it turns out it's not so useful if you break the remote control and Chuck just gets like wedged on this dinosaur's head.
Because the plan starts out well in having Chuck like put a lasso over the T-Rex and then try to pull it is where it falls apart because Chuck has no weight in comparison or Triceratops.
No.
In comparison to a Triceratops, so he just gets yanked and tied up in the horns. And yeah, then he just breaks the remote.
Yeah. So he gets it into the danger room here with the Dino Island simulation. Or I guess so. If it's the Savage Land, it would be... Or sorry, it's the Danger Room. It's the Savage Land simulation.
Yes.
Oh, wow. X-Men
all like,
over the place.
I feel like Kazar and Shauna the She-Devil should be hanging out here.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, they need fight, a pet Sabertooth Tiger.
Gonna have to fight, like, Sauron or Garrok the Petrified Man. Or Zaladane, who may or may not be dressed as a chicken.
Why is she a rooster? I don't understand.
Yeah, the coloring on that is crazy.
I need to know.
She wears a disguise to look like human guys.
I need to know why she's a rooster.
Yes. Oh, and is it when he's lassoing her after that Tough Luck Chuck makes the reference I was not expecting of Yippee-Ki-Yay.
Yes, except he just leaves it at that.
Well, yes.
He does not continue.
I mean, well, it makes sense in context.
Yes.
It does. Because
he is doing cowboy stuff.
Hoist is likes cowboy-y stuff. It's just my brain kept trying to finish that in a PG for kids kind of way and settled on Yippee-Ki-Yay mecha truckers.
I was kind of hoping for an, oh my god, the quarterback is toast.
And then, nah, I mean, because they, if anybody made a sports reference, it would be Hot Shot.
It's true. Anyway, so they...
I wouldn't be surprised if we get a football episode.
Yeah, so they contact him about this extra toe, and it does indeed turn out that Androcles-like, he plucks a thorn from the paw of this dinosaur, immediately making it docile.
Yes, it jumps on him and starts licking him. Which is pretty cute.
Yes. Yeah,
because it's really cute.
No need to apply ointment or bandage it. Just pulling the thorn out solves all the problems.
I mean, it's the best solution to a Triceratops-related problem, since Laura Dern had to stick her hand into a big pile of poop. Anyway, so they all get back. You know, the dinosaur's friendly. Hoist has perhaps conquered his fear. Except, again, this Tyrannosaurus freaks him out, and then Hotshot wants to race it, because Hotshot is immortal.
Yes. I do, like, early in the episode, he's like, you know, says something about wanting to race a T-Rex on the island, and Wedge is like, why would you want to race a T-Rex? He's like, why wouldn't you?
No.
he really wants to race a T-Rex. He just, no brain cell. No brain cell at all.
And that now brings us to episode 32, Hack Attack. First aired September 21st, 2019, written by Jody Reynolds. Last seen in these parts, written All at Sea.
Okay.
The one where they go under the sea.
Under the sea.
Oh, yes. When they're threatened by a shark who cannot bite any of them.
Again, carnivores, not actually a danger to them.
No.
No.
So yeah, we're in class with Chase. It's just making me think of that driver's ed sketch from I think you should leave with the tables.
You're the only one that's
seen that one.
Oh, maybe he's on it.
Chase, what's his job? Tables! His job is tables!
I have not even seen clips of that one.
Oh, man, that's a good one. I'll send that link around.
Okay.
So yeah, he's talking about traffic stops. Everybody is extremely bored.
Yes.
Except for Whirl.
One of them is falling asleep. I forget who.
Trace does acknowledge that it is tricky to capture the real thrill of a routine traffic stop in a classroom setting.
Yes.
I like this routine traffic stop, too, just to let you know.
Uh-huh. Not even one of the interesting ones.
No.
Because it's so hard to capture the excitement of this, instead we are going to play my new holodeck program. I mean, sim game on the holodeck, by which I mean Hero Hall.
The danger room, the holodeck.
Yes. Yes, but Hotshot is bummed about this because he was really hoping to play his new video game, Invasion of the Giant Hedgehogs.
Sure, that sounds real.
They gotta go fast.
Yes, apparently they do not, as we will learn shortly.
So instead, they go to the hall. He unplugs Chase's simulation, plugs his in. Possibly before... I'm not sure if he blew into the cartridge first.
He does have a little cartridge for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the cartridge, is it like an N64 card? It's rounded.
It looks
top.
Very N64. Yeah, it looks like they're about to play some GoldenEye.
Yes.
Yes.
But instead, what happens is that it's like in that episode of Reboot, when they accidentally put two games on top of each other.
Yes.
And they ended up in a weird merged game where there was, a robot pterodactyl.
I mean, that's just Beast Wars.
Yes. So, yeah, they deal with a couple of traffic stops, and...
One of them
they have to chase down, and they end up earning gold coins for their efforts.
All of the traffic stops are charming little hatchbacks.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's the... Was it Whirl that's first?
Yes.
And
because Whirl is actually excited about this.
Yes, and she stops her car and calls it brown.
And it is brown. Yes.
Now, unless the color settings on my computer are off, I wouldn't have called that brown. That was more a muted greenish piece of color.
Yeah.
I thought it looked brown.
It's-ish.
I mean, I wouldn't need many words to describe that, but... Brown wouldn't be the immediate that would jump to mind, like army green, possibly. Like it's an off color.
It did look like
it wasn't a warm brown.
A current model Subaru Crosstrek color. Also, all of this just seems like the state inspections that we have to do in my state. Like you don't normally pull someone over to check their wiper blades.
Normally, unless you're using that as an excuse to do something else.
I want to know if you can run Skyrim on Hero Hall.
Well, can you put it on an N64 cart?
Yeah, I'm sure someone probably has.
Yeah. Can we run Oblivion on it now?
Just gonna end with a bunch of... bunch of my high school friends get me with the proximity mines again.
No odd job.
They let me be odd job because I sucked so bad that I had to have some sort of handicap. Aww. But I still ended up getting seeing the blood coming down the screen with the Bond theme.
Oh, did you hear the thing where they found a thing on the cart that you could play? Originally in the idea, four different Bonds.
Oh.
But that wasn't included in the final game, so you have to hack the shit out of it to get it to work.
And only four, not five?
Well, it was four at the time, wasn't it?
No, there were five at the time.
They left out Lazenby. No Lazenby.
Oh, man.
Because he was only in one movie.
Lazenby, always getting the shaft.
It's a shame.
Of course, I mean, they'd be with, Nintendo 64 graphics. I don't know there'd be a huge difference between Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton.
No, the graphics really don't look that different. The only thing, I think Roger Moore was in a white suit. Everybody else just kind of looked the same.
Okay.
But, like, the rough graphics were buried in the cart.
Now Windsor is demanding my attention. Like, Anastasia decided that I wasn't having enough problems, so she had to send her brother.
Felix just came for a visit, but he'll get snacks soon enough.
All right, so...
So anyway, World's colorblind, and they finish checking out cars. Yeah,
so they all make the traffic stops, they all get a gold coin, and so the program should be over, and then that's when the giant hedgehogs invade. Yes.
They are pixelated.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat trick.
They are pixelated, they are giant hedgehogs, they're not particularly Sonic-y, but they can roll into spiky balls.
Yes.
Yeah, they're red instead of blue, but they do roll into balls.
They're quadrupedal. They're
huge.
I think most significantly, like, they are quadrupedal.
Yeah, how do we not get sued here?
Because they're quadrupedal. If they had been bipedal and wearing sneakers, then you probably wouldn't get sued, because it's like parody, but...
And also, they fire mucus at people.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I'm not aware of that being a hedgehog thing.
Alpacas? I don't think they do that.
So Medics gets embedded in goop, and I like that. Okay, first, ew. Second, help!
Yeah.
Medics is not featured in these episodes, but he's definitely doing good background work.
Yeah, not the last few. He gets a few good lines.
And unfortunately... Hotshot has committed the cardinal sin of playing Nintendo 64 games. He didn't read the booklet. You gotta read the booklet.
Yeah, I have
well,
been...
Well, I guess maybe in 2019 games might have still come with booklets.
I have been so spoiled by modern games that I'll find, like, a new Game Boy game, and I'm like, I don't know what any of the controls are, or what any of these creatures are, or what any of... Like, any of this is, and I have to go to archive.org and find a scan of the guide, so...
Yeah.
You always gotta read the booklet.
I used to, when we'd get new games, and note that I was the older sibling, so this was not, like, required of me, but when we would get new games, my sister would just shove it in and start playing it, but I would sit there and read the manual first.
So you know what an Octorok was.
This is why my sister always has me over when she has to, like, when she gets, like, a new appliance or something. Because I'm always the one who reads the manual before doing anything.
I mean...
Also why my nephew makes me help... has me be the one who helps him with Lego.
I mean, things these days are very designed for TLDR. Like, I mean, certainly games are designed so that you don't have to read the manual... Yeah. Probably in part because, like, the resolution is high enough that you don't need a guide to tell you what the enemies are and what they're trying to do. And...
Or you could have it somewhere in the settings menu that, oh, you identified these three monsters. Find the other 50.
Yes. And over the decades, we have learned about how people, like, game theory has become an entire thing, so we know how people interact with menus and how they're going to look for things and where they expect to find things. But it is a little archaic that Hotshot is needing the manual here.
Yes.
Oh, it is neat. Like, the sound effects for the hedgehogs are great. They sound very old video gamey.
I mean, I'm fine with it because I'm 46 years old. But I am an old person.
So everybody is... So Hotshot tries to deal with them, and it goes very badly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So instead, everybody else just tries to make traffic stops with the hedgehogs.
Sort of. Like, the first one is they dig a giant hole. And get the hedgehog to go into it. I guess that's traffic stop related.
Yes.
Avoid the potholes.
Yeah. And then, meanwhile, Hoist manages to end program here, saving them from being devoured by giant hedgehogs.
Yeah. Or spit on by them, at least.
So weird. Mm. Why do they spit?
So Chase drops in and is like, hey, how'd everybody enjoy my program? And, you know, everybody says, oh, yeah, that was great. Great, fantastic. No complaints. And Max says, yeah, it's fine, except for the hedgehogs.
Hang on, what hedgehogs?
Hedgehogs? Wah, 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 wah. And that's the episode. A pair of really fun episodes this time,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. The dinosaur one was great. The hedgehog one is silly, but it's fine.
Yes.
It's very light.
Yeah.
Yeah, decent episode.
So yeah, that is that should do it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, and we are on Blue Sky, and we also have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on IaconUnderground.net, where David and I have also been back to doing our news pod. Occasionally, we get to talk about things that are not tariffs. Those,
not lately.
Yeah, those are on IaconUnderground.net, and we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/IaconUnderground. For last month, for April, I'm like, what was last month again? It was April. I'm not good with dates, yes, or times or knowing when anything is. We did the episode of Victory with Death Cobra. And, of course, 2 out of 3 of us watched the English dub, because that is the ideal
way to watch. It was too painful. I'd seen it
Darn
years
it.
Ago.
I mean, it's not Master Force. Master Force is basically unwatchable. It's just too distracting. Mm-hmm. But Victory's pretty fun with the dub. Darn it. Darn him. For April, or for May, we have not quite figured out what we're doing yet, but we have some fun ideas. But we will come up with something. I don't know.
Yes,
David and I might have to do some more side Gundam projects. Side? Do you see what I'm doing there? That wasn't intentional. That wasn't intentional. Because the space colonies are called sides. But yeah, we have some fun ideas. I know I've been, I don't know if there's any good way to get GoBots episodes right now to dig up the episode that then ended up being rewritten for The Gambler. But I think somebody might have DVD rips on archive.org or something.
Yeah, I know I found it somewhere.
I mean, I've definitely got some old DVD rips that I got, or like weird internet rips that I got like ages
ago.
Yeah,
they aren't as pretty as the masters that they have for airing on MeTV Toons right now, but hopefully, I'm telling you, I'm hoping that's leading up to a Blu-ray release. But maybe we will do something else entirely, because sometimes we just think of something and do that, like, out of nowhere.
Yep.
But the Patreon episodes are always a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun doing them. It is as little as $1 a month. You can pledge whatever else you feel like, but we don't want to be one of those podcasts that like makes you start at $10 a month. That's kind of silly. But yeah, that is patreon.com/IaconUnderground. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So we'll be back next time with when Medics decides to loosen up and the whole team decides to adopt a dog.
Puppy.
I do like a pet episode.
Yes. A little dog named Scruffles.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, is that what they call the littlest hobo in this episode?
And I just want to come out of a song, an up-tempo song, and I don't want to have to talk about a goddamn dog dying. I just want someone to use his goddamn brain around here.
Good old Casey Kasem.
And I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. Until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Why is he called Cliff Jumper anyway? He doesn't jump off cliffs. I'm David.
In Enter the Night Bird, he in fact specifically fails to jump up a cliff that everyone else had successfully jumped up.
And keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.